Go ahead and open your Bibles with me, please, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's a man by the name of Thomas Wheeler. He was the CEO of Massachusetts Mutual Life Insurance Company, known today as Mass Mutual. He tells a delightful story on himself. He says that he and his wife were driving down the interstate one day. Their car was running low on fuel, so he was looking for a gas station. He pulled off the exit, and he found a rundown gas station with one lone pump. He asked the only attendant that was there to fill up his tank and check his oil, and he went around the gas station and just kind of walked around to stretch his legs. And as he was returning to the car, he noticed that the gas station attendant and his wife were in a rather animated conversation. And so he went to pay, and that conversation kind of quickly died out. And when he got back in the car, he saw the attendant wave and heard him say, "It was great to talk to you." And so as they drove out of the station, Wheeler asked his wife if she had known the man, and she said, yes, she did. She admitted that they had gone to high school together and that they had even dated steadily for about a year. So Wheeler said to his wife, "Boy, you were lucky that I came along. If you had married him, you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant instead of the wife of a CEO." To which the wife replied, "My dear, if I had married him, you'd be the gas station attendant and he would be the CEO." And all the wives said, amen. You know, perspective is an amazing thing, isn't it? It's amazing how two people can sit down in front of the same TV, they can watch the same sporting event, and they can take away two totally different ideas. Or two people can be at the same office, the same workplace. One can see all the problems and issues that need to be solved, and the other thinks everything is just hunky-dory. Two people can eat at the same restaurant, eat the same exact meal, at the same time, and one person can just love all the flavors and all the presentation of that meal, and the other just abhors everything about it. You see, our perspective comes from our background and our education, from the way that we were raised, and from those things that we have been exposed to in life. You know, I remember that before I became a Christian, my perspective was totally different on so many issues. When I was in high school, I had a friend, I guess I wouldn't call him a friend, I guess an acquaintance, and he was in my class, and we played football together, and he was driving down the road near where I lived, and he was going a little fast. He lost control of his car, he ran off the side of the road, he hit a tree, and he died. And of course, that's devastating for anyone, right? But it's especially devastating when you're in high school and you think of a classmate who has just gone through a tragedy like that. You know, I remember thinking to myself that that could have been me, and how lucky I was that it wasn't me, or that it wasn't one of my family members. You see, for myself and my friends and my family, our perspective of this whole event was one of confusion and disillusion. And so it was with any tragedy, with any trial, with any tribulation that would happen. My perspective, my conclusion, if you will, of why these things happened in life was that life simply just dealt us a bad hand. You know, we just got a raw deal. In life, we are simply the playthings of fate and of chance, so I thought. However, after I became a Christian, I realized that there was another view of life, another perspective. It is a perspective that we as Christians should have about life, and especially when things happen that just don't go our way. It is a perspective that the Apostle Paul states with these words in our text, and we know it so well in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." You see, very few verses in the Bible claims more than this verse, covers more territory, and offers more hope and comfort. All things work together for good to them that love God. In other words, folks, we can be reminded tonight that we are in the hands of a wise and benevolent God who has a deep interest in our lives and loves us in every detail so that all things work together for good. We are not simply in the hands of a grim and speechless fate or chance, but instead in the hands of a kind and gracious and loving God. Now, I want you to notice what Paul says here those first two words, he says, all things work together for good. All things, not just a few things, not just certain things, not just the good things, but all things. So then when you think about that failed endeavor in your life, the disappointed outcome of your desire, that family member that passed away tragically, the loss of a job, the accident that totaled your car, the decision that was made that negatively impacts your future, that information that you just found out that changes your life for the bad, and the day that Rick Blaylock finally realized that a hairbrush is no longer useful to him. All those things, as well as the good things and normal things, all things, Paul says, works together for good to them that love God. You know, Paul is not saying here that all things are good. He knew, as well as we know today, that that is not true. There is so much in our world that is not good. Disappointed hopes and dreams, pain, sorrow, heartache, hatred, persecution, defeat, trials, tribulation, sickness, the death of loved ones, just to name a few. But you know, Paul reminds us of this in our text in verse 22 and 23. Look at it with me. The Bible says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." You see, as Christians, beloved, we are groaning within ourselves, awaiting for that wonderful day when we will be taken from our fleshly bodies and be presented before the Lord in our glorified bodies without sin and heartache and pain, and we will eternally love and worship and be with the one true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So these things in and of themselves, beloved, yes, they are bad and uncomfortable. But our gracious, loving Heavenly Father is allowing all these things in our lives, good and bad, and is working them together for good so His plan can be fulfilled in our lives. You know, it's been quoted that every adversity comes with the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. You know, while that can be true, and it is true many times, it is also true that in many cases, adversity hardens. It blasts, it embitters, and brings a person to a life of bitterness and despair. Year after year, you might prune the vine of poison ivy, yet year after year, it would still produce poison. The pruning knife of adversity, in and of itself, doesn't produce good. In all reality, beloved, when adversity comes, when hardships happen, when trials overtake us, when things just don't go our way, it all depends upon how we react to adversity, to what the world calls misfortune. And is our reaction to adversity and hardships one of bitterness and disgust, or do we comply with the words and principle of Scripture written here by the Apostle Paul when he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Need I remind you who is writing this here in this text? The Apostle Paul, as we know, has given us an extraordinary catalog of hardships that he had endured. Hunger and thirst, loneliness, sickness, prison, robberies, scourging, and shipwrecks. Yet, Paul never reproaches God. He never complains that his life has been a hard one. On the contrary, he says that he is able to rejoice in all these things because he knows that they are working out good in him and for him. All things work together for good to them that love God. You know what, however? It is not just all the things that happen in our life are good, but it is that all things work together for good. The word together in this verse is so important. Think about it for a moment, a football game, if you would. It is not necessarily one single good or bad play that determines the outcome of the game, but rather it is all the plays working together that decides the fate of that game. It works together in harmony. And so it is with the events and adversities and hardships and good times in the lives of those who love God. They all work together in harmony for the good in our lives. Now, my time is fleeting, probably already passed, so I'm going to go ahead and close with this. Obviously, for us and our family, right now, at this moment, everything is very, very good. We have had a successful adoption. We have been able to serve in the church that we love most and while going through this process. And the result has been that God has given us such a precious gift, and may I say, she is the most beautiful little baby girl that I've ever laid eyes upon. You know, all the dads warned me that when you have a baby girl, you just kind of melt away, and man, they weren't kidding. She can have anything she wants. But you know, the journey leading up to our adoption was not without its adversities. We went through highs and lows, a miscarriage, many, many doctor's visits, checking to see if there was something wrong. Most of you know, of course, that several years ago, Deanna found out she had a gluten allergy. So we were wondering maybe if it was this that was the issue of why we couldn't have a baby. We changed diets, we took vitamins, we went to more doctors, and no one seemed to have an answer for us. We finally decided to adopt, and about after a year and a half, we barely heard anything from the agency that we initially signed up with. So to broaden our options, we signed on with another lady who worked with multiple agencies. We came back for a furlough, and many people were praying, including many of you praying with us, that we would be able to adopt a baby while we were on furlough. Well, our furlough came and went, and as we were standing in the airport ready to fly back to Spain, we got a call. On the other end of the line was an agent letting us know that we had just been matched with a birth mother and that the baby would be born in 6 weeks. You know, we got off the phone, of course, very, very excited, but both of us were thinking, Lord, what in the world are you doing? This is like the worst possible timing, right? So it seemed to us. However, the Lord's timing is always perfect. And any sooner, may I say, or any later, we would have missed out on this precious little girl whom we love so dearly. You see, beloved, all things work together for good. All those things that happen to us, the miscarriage, the doctors, everything that happened to us on our journey worked together for good so that we could have a baby, so that Kara could grow up in a Christian home, and so that a birth mom could choose life. Kara's name means right or opportune time. It may not have seemed like the best timing in our eyes, but it was the perfect and right and opportune moment because God was working all things together for good to those that love Him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. For, and the next verse says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Beloved, every event, every adversity, every hardship, and every good thing is all working together for our good. And do you know what the greatest good of all of this is? It is our future, that one day we will all be conformed to the image of His Son. One day, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we thank You so much for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for this great text. So many of us can quote it without the blink of an eye, but Lord, help us to remember the magnitude of this text, that Lord, every event, every adversity, anything that happens in our life, good or bad, You are working together for good for us. Lord, we love You because You are good. And Lord, You first loved us. Thank You for sending Your Son on the cross to die for us. Thank You for this moment. And Father, we just love You and Your word, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.